Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay only for what you use. Ting doesn't require a contract and offers unlimited devices on one shared plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit hamnation.ting.com. That's hamnation.ting.com. And by ICOM, en route, on location, on the go. Let ICOM help you take ham radio on the road. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 140 for March 26th, 2014. Robert W0VMC shows us those monster broadcast transmitters. Good evening, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID, and we're here with Ham Nation. I have a whole host of guests tonight, and we're sorry that Gordo can't be here, but he's out teaching. That's what he does best, you know, is teach. He's out with the Coast Guard teaching. But we have all of the regulars here. We'll go down and see what's happening in Mississippi. George, how are you doing tonight? Got your soldering iron ready?
I do, Bob, if I can find it under this pile of junk here on my desk. It's back there somewhere. I'll just look for the smoke. We're going to revisit some popular topics tonight, and we'll have a little bit of that later on in the show.
Okay. And Don has got his goggles on and his pencil out, and he's really getting into it, and he has a news line ready. But in the meantime, I think you're putting something in your car. Is that right, Don?
Yeah, I'm in the midst of putting this thing here in my car. I'm taking it out of my Jeep, and I'm doing the install in my car, and I will be documenting that photographically and showing you how that's happening. Also, like you said, we've got amateur radio news line, news of the week, and also we're going to bring you information on a silent key who has done some really cool stuff and kind of a neat story, and it's sad that he's passed. And also an update on a guy up in Spokane who had a really horrible tower accident. We brought you that story on Newsline. We're going to update him as well, and a whole lot more here on Ham Nation, Bob.
Okay, super. Dale is going to be here with some great photos and slides, and we have a great video from the AM gurus, as I call them, W0VMC and KC8ZUL, and their forest of a broadcast transmitter. We'll be around in just a few minutes with that. Don't miss this. If you got to leave the room, do it right now. But first, we're going to go look at some slides that Gordo left us in his absence. And as I said, he's teaching tonight, and very important that he does those things too. So, Alex, let's run some of these slides and see what his slides are. Here he is in his full uniform as he teaches the Coast Guard. And of course, we know what a great teacher that Gordon West is. And those guys are fortunate. And there's one of his mobiles that he drives around. I love that car. It's just cool. And he goes out with the Coast Guard and sets the radios for them, helps them with antennas. And as you know, it's really tough in boats to make antennas work. Gordon West can make that happen. That's a really cool picture of his car. And there's the back of it. And he keeps his setup most of the time. He just opens up the back and all the radios are there. So he's ready for emergencies at any one time. And it can be on, of course, the Coast Guard frequencies or on amateur radio. And it's a great vehicle. And they really try to get their kids involved because a lot of boaters have families aboard. And if anything happens, these children, we will know how to access the radios in emergencies. And there again, Gordon is always thinking ahead about those kind of things while on the water. We're very excited about Gordo's work with teaching everybody. It's kind of a new dimension for him. And any of you teachers, you want to get a hold of Gordo because he's got a whole course for that. Well, we're going to show a video that I did last December. As you probably remember, every year I go do my Ohio run. I go to Universal Electronics and see Barbara and Fred and the cats and the great dealership there, and end up down in Hamilton, Ohio at R&L. But now this year we added a DX Engineering, and I think that was a really, really great trip because we actually opened this store that night, and they had a really big thing happen. We had a couple of clubs there. It was fun. But on the way back down to Dayton, where we were going to attend the Dayton Amateur Radio Club Christmas party, I got a call from my friend that worked at the labs that KC8ZUL has, builds those $150,000 amplifiers for your home stereo, and said that Robert was there. Well, any of you know that are on AM know the word Robert. It's all you got to say is Robert and AM. He does have a last name, but he's just the best AM guy out there. He's got a great voice. Let's go see what these characters did in Columbus, Ohio. So I'm driving through Columbus, Ohio. I thought I'd stop and see my old buddy Jerry, KC8ZUL. What do I find in his parking lot? It's W0VMC's van. Oh no, that's the famous Robert, the voice modulated carrier. There's got to be something going on with these two gurus together with all these big transmitters. Let's go see what's going on.
What a surprise for me. I'm supposed to be in Ohio doing other things. And guess who I find? I find Robert, W0VMC, which is the voice of course, AM. And he's visiting Jerry, who is the king collector of AM transmitters. What a great day. Robert, nice to see you here.
Yeah, pleasure to see you there,
Bob. This is cool.
You know, it's, the timing couldn't have been better.
That's right. And you come to see Jerry. Jerry, how are you?
We're having a great time here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a couple new rigs on the air, a FART 24, the FRT 24. And behind us, we got a Collins 20T, the world's heaviest 1 kilowatt transmitter.
Yes.
We're going to go look at the back of this in a little bit, but this is just great. And you're down here to help him get all these things on there so we can make some AM on 3880.
That's the key. I mean, I don't, we've been doing this now for probably 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
I've been coming to Ohio, and Jerry always has some nice little surprises. Jerry's motto is, if it isn't heavy enough, and when it falls on you, it kills you, then it's not, it doesn't qualify, you know? So.
Oh, this is great. Well, we're going to go look around here and show you some of these beautiful things. I look at these like pieces of art, and we're going to go see what a real AM ham radio is all about.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Collins 20T.
Look at that. Those are 833s.
Yes, sir. Yep. 833s are modulated by another pair. Of course, this is the RF portion of the deck. And just as wide to the left is the modulated portion of the deck.
Modern digital controls on the caps in the tune and the load. Gatorade-based controller. It makes every transmitter in our collection look exactly the same. It's So back to the studio, it looks like this, everyone's the same rig. We can switch them with a simple selector switch.
This all starts out with a 718.
Yeah. Yeah.
3885. Yeah, baby.
And key element here is Orban 9300.
Uh-huh.
So we go from mic to mixer of the Orban right into a program distribution amplifier.
And then, of course, you have a selector that you can select those different transmitters. That is very interesting.
We'll get you a good shot.
We also got a feature here where we can load one transmitter address, select the second one, and when you hit the mic key, it swaps transmitters. So you can do a quick swap from one to the other transmitter.
Hey, Robert, tell me what we're looking at here. This looks pretty special.
This is a rare transmitter. It's a Collins FRT24, which is good from technically listed as 2 to 30 megahertz. But, you know, you could easily get this on 160 meters with no problem. The unique features of this transmitter, outside of the fact that it has a 4-1000A in the final, a pair of 4-400A's in a modulator, is the auto-tune feature. And we can show you that.
Butterfly.
If you're all familiar with the ART13, that ought to look familiar to you. You know, you set your controls and it will automatically refine the frequency you want. And, of course, if you want to switch back, it does all this for you in one neat show. Yes, and we'll give you one more run at it. This is always the fun part. And all these servo motors are driven with tubes, which is unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable.
This is incredible.
You know, only have seen one of these in my life, and this is it. And actually, I knew that a couple previous owners, which were, that goes back to about 12, 13 years ago. So, and this has been upgraded. Now, these transmitters were designed more for communications-grade audio, but we have all plate-modulated 1-kilowatt base broadcast iron. So this thing here now has some decent quality tones to it.
Robert, this has really been a great day for me, and you've got some really incredible things here to play with that Jerry's collected. I'm sure that you have a lot of hours here, right?
Yes. Over the course of 10, 11 years we've been coming to Ohio and playing radio with Jerry and all, and been blessed really to be able to work on a lot of these broadcast rigs and get them on the air.
What's your background? I hear you on AM all the time, and everybody does, of course. What's your background?
Well, I actually majored in advertising, and that's a far way away from these vacuum tubes. I went to a school, it was called Elkins Institute. It was basically a one-year electronics crash course. And from then on, I've been doing various types of electronics, digital stuff on automobiles, and of course the radio stuff has always been fun. So, you know, with a little physics and algebra, you can just about do anything. You know?
That's right. Have you ever been on single sideband? Do you ever...
I heard there was a rumor of such a band, but I'm working on it. Some of my best friends are all single.
This is such a great day for me, and I'm glad to bring all you guys and gals along here. We want to bring our AM transmitters to the world, and this is it.
And Bob, I'm glad you made it by the blessing that we're in the same state, same city at the same time.
Amazing.
That's great.
From Columbus, Ohio, it's KZHZUL. AM, right?
That was so much fun, let me tell you. Now, what you want to do is you want to put Ham Nation into Google and go back to program 41. Ham Nation into Google, go back to program 41. That's where we took a tour of many of the transmitters. He's got about 50 of them. So you want to check it out. It's so much fun. We enjoy being with those guys. And we want all of you to join us on 3880, 3885. The new rigs work great there. So dial it up and work some AM. You'll love it. 7290 on 40 meters. So spend some time. It's really fun to get on the AM portion of the bands. And I have to tell you, a lot of you are in the chat room, oh my gosh, how much power is it? Those transmitters only run a couple of hundred watts. True. Oh, they're capable of more, but that's what they do when they convert them. They're all harnessed down to 250 watts because that's the limit on AM. So it's just the love of all that old iron, and the audio is gorgeous in them, of course. But boy, make some time and check out some of that. George, you've had a many, many hours on those kind of transmitters, I bet you. And let's see what you got going on that sort of AM broadcast transmitter. You've got a lot of time, don't you?
I do have quite a few hours, Bob. And that huge Collins in there, the one that was in two cabinets, we had one at a station I worked at one time. It was no longer in use. It was just sitting there. But, I mean, that thing was as big as a 50-kilowatt is today. But really some great stuff. I have never met Robert, but I have seen some photos and such of some of his conversions that he's made, and they are immaculate. I don't know anyone who does better work.
Yeah, he's really something. Well, we want to go see what we can do about our cell phone bills. And after a hearing from Ting, we want you to fire up the soldering iron. So you're going to have a minute here to get that going. So let's go visit with Ting for just a little, and George will take over the old airwaves.
Yeah, George, get that thing warmed up. Hey, I've got some, I've got a couple of hours on AM as well, but it was at 1520 KOMA in Oklahoma City where we were doing 50 KW, and I was getting paid for it. Of course, that was the fun part. Let's talk about cell phones. Let's talk about Ting. Ting is not a cell phone company. Ting resells the nationwide Sprint network, and so you can get all the benefits of Sprint at a much lower price. Unlimited devices on one plan. Have as many devices as you want on the one plan, sharing the pool minutes, messages, and the megabytes. And every device on the plan just costs a flat $6 a month. The pricing, you can't be beat. Better rates, lower monthly bills for all. And if you've already tried the Ting Savings Calculator, you might want to go back and check again, because they've renegotiated some of their stuff with Sprint, and they're giving you better prices. So it's worth it doing another calculation to see just how much more you could save. No overage charges, no penalties, no add-on charges, no contracts, no early termination fees, none of that. No mysterious line items, gobbledygook on your bill. Just a powerful online account control panel to take care of your account, your usage, your bills, a powerful online control panel. And a great phone number, 855-TING-FTW, is available anytime, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. A real person will pick up and talk to you. And, of course, you can go to help.ting.com for active customer support forums, simple and powerful help ticketing system, video tutorials, the whole deal. Here's how it works. You purchase your mobile phone from Ting. You'll get that in 2 to 5 business days. You can bring over your favorite Sprint phone from Ting, like the iPhone 4, the 4S, even the iPhone 5. Full list of eligible phones is right there on the show special URL. Click on that BYOD link at the top of the page, and you'll get it all. And they'll even turn your old device into cash if you want to do that. Here's what you do. You go to hamnation.ting.com. You'll save money. You'll better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Check out the savings calculator. See how much you and your company can save. And because you're a Ham Nation viewer, you get $25 off your first Ting device when you sign up. Hamnation.ting.com. Thank you, Ting, for helping us save money. Now, let's go fire up the soldering iron. We'll head up a couple hours north of me to Jackson. George, fire it up, buddy.
Okay, Don, we'll get it fired up here. You know, there are some topics that just don't get old, and they keep coming up. And this week, we're bringing back something that we talked about many, many episodes ago, but it's been a lot of questions about it recently. Recently, I've been getting a lot of questions about how to connect external audio gear to an IC7200 HF rig. So this week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to begin by reviewing balanced and unbalanced audio. So you just bought a new microphone. You unbox it, and it looks great.
Surely you will sound like a radio god now.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Then you turn it around and look at the connector on the end. Oh no, it's got three connections, and your radio only has two. You think,
would which two do I use?
And after a little while, you've tried all the connections, two at a time. You hear static, noise, and hum. But you never hear any audio. That's because you're connecting a balanced microphone to an unbalanced input. Fear not, there's a correct way to do this, but let's discuss the difference between the two first. An unbalanced circuit has one signal lead and a ground. The ground lead is the shield, and the center conductor is the signal lead. A balanced circuit has two leads and a ground. One signal lead is connected to the plus terminal of the source, and the other is connected to the minus. The ground lead is connected to the shield, of course. Electrical signals must have a complete path. To illustrate this, a battery has two terminals, but both must be connected to the load before current will flow. It's the same for an audio signal. For an unbalanced circuit, audio from one side of the microphone element is sent to a radio over the center conductor. To complete the circuit, the other side of the microphone element is connected to the ground lead. Since an electrical signal must have a complete path to be transferred, audio travels down both of these leads. In a balanced circuit, the positive half of the signal from one side of the microphone element is sent down one center conductor to the equipment, and the negative half of the signal, which is 180 degrees out of phase from the first, is connected to the other center conductor. The ground lead merely connects the ground of the microphone case to the ground of the equipment. No microphone signal is present on the ground. Now let's talk about noise and radio frequency interference, or RFI. For an unbalanced circuit, when noise is present in the vicinity of the cable, some is induced into both the shield and the center conductor. A mic signal is very low level and must be amplified in the radio by a preamp, so the noise is amplified as well as the intended audio signal. For a balanced circuit, some noise is induced into the shield and both center conductors. Since the shield does not carry audio, that noise is not much of a factor. And since the audio is on two balanced conductors, which are out of phase with each other, when the noise arrives at the preamp, it's canceled. Obviously, a balanced signal is the best choice for keeping noise and RFI out of your microphone signal. So why don't our radios have balanced mic inputs? Well, this is mainly due to the cost and the fact that since our radios usually have a short mic cable, not as much noise is induced as would be on a longer cable. How can we connect a balanced microphone to an unbalanced mic input? Simple. If we're using an unbalanced cable, which has one center conductor, we connect the negative lead from the mic element to the shield and the positive lead to the center conductor. If we're using a balanced cable, which has two center conductors, we connect the negative lead to the shield at the unbalanced end of the cable. Now, what if we want to use a mixer to feed the radio? We can use the connections just described to connect balanced to unbalanced, but we find that the audio is very distorted. That's because the line level signal from the mixer is way too hot for the radio's microphone input. If we turn down the level on the mixer so we don't overdrive the radio, we find that the mixer's VU meter reads very low, and we probably have some noise, namely hiss, on the transmit audio. We need to pad down the audio from the mixer to an acceptable level so it can operate in its sweet spot while not overloading the radio's mic input. Resistors can be used for this purpose to create a pad, but I prefer to use a potentiometer. This will work in many cases, but there is a possibility that you could have hum from a ground loop or RFI entering the radio. The best way to interface a mixer is to use a 600 to 600 ohm transformer to isolate the mixer from the radio and a pot to pad the audio to the appropriate level. When you do this, you'll only connect the shield at one end of the cable, or else you might have a ground loop. However, if you've got a problem with RFI, you might have to connect the shield at both ends. So my rule of thumb is, if you're connecting a microphone, the level is so low that you must use the shield. Since the mic itself is not grounded, there shouldn't be a problem with ground loops. If you're connecting something at a line level, though, try it without the shield first. Also, you should connect the mixer's chassis to your station ground system. Most importantly, though, when combating RFI, do whatever works. Now here's a tip for ICOM radio owners. Instead of using a separate connector pin, ICOM rigs have phantom power for condenser microphones on the microphone audio lead. You'll need to block this DC voltage from reaching your dynamic microphone or outboard audio gear by placing a 1 microfarad capacitor in series with the lead. Failing to do this could lead to undesirable consequences. Well, there you go. Another oldie but goodie, but, you know, a subject that just seems to keep coming up. So I hope you were paying attention, because there are some good tips in there. And there's a few other ways you can do it, but these are tried and true right here. Well, last week I asked a question, what is another name for a capacitor? And I got an answer from N9YVW, YVU, Scott. And he said the answer is a condenser. Now, what can we give Scott? Well, maybe a set of Heil ProSet 3s here. Bob's great new stereo headset here is great for ham radio or just listening to music, and they're very comfortable. So congratulations. We're going to send these to you, Scott. Actually, we're going to send you the ones in the box over here. I'm not getting rid of this pair. I'm keeping them. And for next week, I've got another question here. What's the most popular connector used for balanced audio? If you think you know the answer to that, then send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we're going to give away one of these MFJ telescopic antennas with a BNC connector on it, perfect for your 2-meter or 440 handy talkie. You just pull out however much you need for that band. And, hey, this works a lot better than the rubber duck that comes on a handy talkie. So send me your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win. Now, I got some breaking news here that I just wanted to bring up real quick, and that is a firmware update. You know, ICOM did a firmware update on the IC7800 recently. Now they've just released it for the 7700. And I can't wait. I'm going to be upgrading this one in the next day or so right here. There's several new things in there. It's got a waterfall screen with mouse operation and additional functions such as a band scope. They've added an audio scope function. The USB connector can now accept a mouse so that you can use a mouse to move around on the waterfall and just click on something there and tune straight to it. The voice recorder function, recording time has been increased. Transmission record capabilities added, and it can be remotely controlled now without using an external PC. And I don't know all the particulars on that because I just found out about this today, but I want to be taking a look at that. And they extended the frequency band on some of the bands. They extended the range a little bit on certain versions of that transceiver. And there were some other patches done in there as well, but we'll be taking a little closer look at that. But right now, let's go get a message from ICOM.
HF, VHF, or UHF, ICOM has you covered wherever you go. Check out the IC7410 and IC7200, two HF radios that employ ICOM's signature DSP technology. The IC7410 is an all-mode HF transceiver. It's got dual conversion super heterodyne system, a built-in auto-tuner, and built-in 15 kHz first IF filter and optional 3 kHz and 6 kHz filters. The IC7200 offers solid performance and digital flexibility. It also includes selectable filter width and shape, excellent receiver performance, and it's compact and rugged, even with a water-resistant front panel. And when it comes to mobiles, have you considered the V8000 for your next adventure on 2 meters? It's got 75 watts of power output in a rugged die-cast aluminum chassis, fast memory channel scanning with dynamic memory scan, complete radio control in the palm of your hand with the versatile mic, backlight customization, and weather scan alert and amateur radio first. And let's not forget ICOM's line of D-Star handheld radios, too. The IC92AD is one rugged VHF-UHF dual bander. Its submersible construction can withstand harsh outdoor elements. dual watch capability, a built-in voice recorder in DV mode, and optional GPS mic. It's great for MCOM and search and rescue. The IC-88D is another dual bander with extended receive coverage. It's the handheld companion to the ID-880H mobile rig that I use, and it's an affordable option for hams interested in trying D-Star. It's durable and splash-proof, and it has NOAA weather radio pre-programmed. The UHF D-Star ID-31A has so many features for on-the-go operation. It's got built-in GPS. It's compact and lightweight with waterproof construction. It's got a micro SD card slot and repeater list up for quick access to nearby D-Star repeaters. So make sure you visit icomamerica.com/hf-vhf-uhf for more information on ICOM's line of on-the-go radios.
And you can tune in and win after each episode of Ham Nation. Visit icomamerica.com/hamnation and register. You could win some great prizes from icomswagstore.com, and your name will also be entered in the monthly radio giveaway. And for March, they're giving away an IC-88D. That's the dual-band VHF-UHF handy talkie with 5 watts of power, D-Star digital voice, wideband receiver, and much more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after the show this evening and after each episode of Ham Nation and throw your name in the hat. And I just want to mention before we move on, my partner Tommy and I from Amateur Logic will be over at Gigaparts Ham Radio Day this Saturday in Huntsville, Alabama. And Tom, W5KUB, is going to be streaming live from there as well. So we're looking forward to a good weekend here. But right now, let's go visit Dale over on the Yellow Brick Road.
Well, thanks, George. Hi, we're glad to take it over here this evening. We've got an easy job, one absolutely outstanding video, and another winner in the Ham's Choice Awards for February. Our special thanks to Ray Novak at ICOM for sending us this video, and to Julian N3JF for producing it. It's all about more than 40 fourth and fifth graders at the Dorothy Grant Elementary School out in California. They live and breathe amateur radio through the K6 DGE Ham Club. These kids are fantastic. The Elmers who make it possible there are amazing. Let's watch.
My name's Beverly Matheson, KJ6RSX, and I'm the president of the club here at our school at Dorothy Grant Elementary School, K6DGE. For the amateur radio, we have about 45 students. It's a mix of fourth and fifth graders, so I divide them in half, and I have fourth graders who come on Tuesday afternoons till 4 o'clock, and then I have fifth graders who come on Thursday afternoons until 4 o'clock. Well, I got into ham radio because a couple of years ago, I knew David Collingham, and he is a ham radio operator who's big into DXing and goes on these trips. So I had asked him, since I knew he traveled to these wonderful locations, I thought, what a great way to teach my kids geography and to teach them about different countries and where they're located. So I had asked him if he would take something from my classroom, such as a flag. And he said, sure. So we created a flag out of a pillowcase, and we decided to put a positive message on it so that anybody who came in contact with our flag would, in some way have their day uplifted. And that was really, you know, our whole purpose was to do that, and then for me to be able to teach geography and cultural type things to my students about people around the world. In the beginning of the year, I had 4 kids that got their license, and they were so excited to get their license, but then kind of sad because they could only really talk on a 2-meter radio by themselves. So, and we really do the high frequency stuff. You know, we try to make long distance contacts, and they really need a general license for that to do it on their own. So my goal is, you know, to maybe have some of the kids be able to ultimately get their general license. But overall, in general, with all the kids, I just want to expose them to the hobby and to maybe get them thinking about how they could be successful in a job that may include some kind of electronics or engineering or something like that. Maybe it'll help shape the pathway of their future a little bit, you know.
My name is David Collingham. My call is Kilo 3 Lima Papa. I'm an amateur radio operator. I live in Maryland now, but I started in Fontana, California. So we got together. We started by supporting a park project where it was a little reading area and a garden. And the kids really excel with that. They develop a beautiful garden area. Then it moved on to flag projects. I'm heavily involved with amateur radio de-expeditions. And with these de-expeditions, the kids made flags, and I would take these on these different parts of the world. So I think they've probably been to about 15 or 20 countries so far with me. And from that, the kids had a very big interest. They said, well, why do you go to these places? And I said, well, I do it because I'm an amateur radio operator, and I love going on exotic de-expeditions. So they were all excited about it. I said, well, if you really have an interest, why don't I support with a radio station in the school? Now we're up to 3 radio stations in the school, 3 different antennas. We have a lot of electronic labs and stuff like that. And each time, we're in our 3rd year now. Some of these students are in the 3rd year. And the program is just progressing. It started with the kids working in the garden. Now they're learning electronics. We had 4 children pass the technician exam not too long ago. The beautiful thing is the teacher's growing with us, too. She passed her tech, passed her general class. ARRL sponsored her program. They're succeeding very nicely. It starts off by saying, CQ, CQ.
This is K6DGE, kilowatt 6, delta golf echo. CQ, CQ, this is K6DGE, kilowatt 6, delta golf echo. CQ, CQ, this is K6DGE, kilowatt 6, delta golf echo. Calling CQ and waiting for a call.
Okay, K6DGE, this is Zulu Lima 4 Alpha Hotel. Zulu Lima 4 Alpha Hotel. Zulu Lima 4 Alpha Hotel. Hotel, you got it? Good job. Great job. What do you got here? Come on, buddy. Let's get it right. Zulu. You're just missing one. You're doing a great job. Zed.
CQ, CQ, this is K6DGE, kilowatt 6, delta golf echo. Calling CQ and waiting for a call.
CQ, this is K6DGE,
it's very nice to hear you on the band. I want to wish you all the best and kudos and congrats to your Elmer there that's helping you out. We really appreciate you guys getting on the air. And perhaps we'll get to hear from you again very, very soon.
November 3, Papa Quebec, N3PQ. And I'm actually 20 miles north of downtown Denver. Here you're in the elementary school in Fontana. I know exactly where you're at, so I have a brother that lives in Fontana. So you have an In-N-Out hamburger place there in Fontana, which I like. I'm here in Colorado. You copy?
November 9, Juliet Alpha.
November 9.
November 9, Juliet Alpha.
This is?
This is K6DGE.
Give me your name.
My name is Matthew. My age is 9. My QT age is Dorothy Grant Elementary School in Fontana, California. The report is 5-9. So how do you copy?
Matthew, I copy 5-9 as well. My QT age is Kirkland, Washington. And my name is Ray, Romeo Alpha Yankee. Do you copy?
November 5, Zulu Victor Whiskey.
This is K6DGE.
This is K6DGE.
I didn't get your name. Could you repeat your name, please?
I didn't get your name. Can you repeat your name, please?
Are the other kids having a good time, as good of a time as you are?
Yes, I think so. We've made already 4 contacts before you. This is our 5th today.
I turned the antenna a little bit so I could hear you, but you're sounding good around by Lynch. We're just sitting here skimming the in an alligator about to make some alligator jambalaya.
Tell them you had lunch too. You just had lunch.
I just had lunch too.
I'm Paul Ewing. My call sign is N6PSE. I'm one of the volunteer examiners and also the mentors for the Dorothy Grant Elementary School Club radio station. My good friend, Dave Collingham, K3LP, is the trustee of the club amateur radio station here at Dorothy Grant Elementary, and he encouraged me to become a volunteer examiner and to assist him in the twice-yearly testing process that goes on here at Dorothy Grant Elementary. These students are very, very intelligent, very passionate about amateur radio, and I would like to assist them and mentor them so that they can all be successful in their pursuits of amateur radio and whatever else they'd like to do with their lives. They're great children here.
I'm Arnie Schatz, N6HC. We're having a lot of fun with the kids, and the kids are having a lot of fun with us. We've operated on the radio and made lots of contacts, and we've also had the opportunity to administer the FCC technician and general class licenses for the radio club members. My goal is to hopefully get all of them licensed at some point in time and be able to work them on the air from my own station.
We have been chosen by NASA as one of the schools who get to participate in the ARIS program, which is communicating with the astronauts via ham radio. Right now, we're not exactly sure when that's going to happen, but so far it's tentatively scheduled for the last week in August of this next year. So we're hoping to start our school year out with, some teaching about space and life on the ISS and getting to make contact via ham radio with the astronauts.
Well, thanks, Ray, and thank you, Juliet, for shooting that. That is absolutely one of the best ham radio videos we've seen here at Ham Nation in a long time, bar none. And speaking of good videos, it's time to announce the Ham's Choice Award for videos presented on Ham Nation during February. It was a close race. There were a lot of videos receiving a high percentage of the vote. But our winner was Lifeboats Cumbria. It was produced by Paul Johnstone, GM0KMG, over in Scotland. Congratulations, Paul. You'll be receiving the ARRL book, Storm Spotting and Amateur Radio, courtesy of our Ham's Choice Award sponsor. He's Mark, KB0MOF, down at the Ham Radio Center in Derby, Kansas. Well, the runner-up this month was the 1288-mile 10-meter handy-talkie contact. That came to us from Larry, WD0AKX. He's up in Minnesota. Next week, Dan in 9LVS is back with a second in a three-part sub-series about mobile HF wiring. And we're still short on videos, so please do send yours to hamnationvideos at twit.tv. We'll get them on the air for you. Well, that's it for tonight. Hope you have a great week out there. Don's up next with Newsline. Take it away, Don, and it's all yours.
Thank you, Dale. Good stuff. Really enjoyed seeing Julian's video. Glad to have Julian back on the program. We've missed you. Before we get into the news of the week, we've got actually some breaking stuff for you here. Didn't get a chance to get this in the newscast. We normally don't talk about silent keys a whole lot because we obviously can't mention everybody, but this guy deserves some mention because it's a cool story. His name is Don Vogel, WA7BAA, up around Spokane, Washington. He passed away March 19th, I believe, in Spokane. He served in the Marines in Vietnam. He was very active on the Meals on Wheels program after he retired from the military and did a lot of communication as a ham with Guantanamo. But anyway, before he became ill, he was very involved in Meals on Wheels. A terminal heart condition started causing a series of strokes. Don, in his last days, was in hospice, but he wanted to go out and continue the Meals on Wheels thing at least one more time. So he got to do that, thankfully, before he passed away, in his power wheelchair, in the snow. And if you go to the Ham Nation Wiki, we'll have a link to a television news story and video about Don and that last Meals on Wheels run. So WA7BAA, God bless you and your family. It's a sad loss for amateur radio. And another update that we have on a story that we brought you a few weeks ago on Ham Nation, the story of KE7ADT, Robert Bearpaw Galindo of Athol, Washington. You may remember he was seriously injured when his antenna tower collapsed, and he lost some fingers and was left hanging up there, had to be airlifted out. Well, he's doing well, thankfully. His wife, Gabby, KE7ADN, says that Bearpaw still has a long road ahead, both mentally and physically, and his surgeries have been doing good. They're grafting muscle tissue onto his arms, and so both Don and Bearpaw's remember the same club, the Kootenai Amateur Radio Society in Spokane. The club continues to support those guys and their families, and so good stuff. Good stuff there. Now let's go ahead and get into the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1910, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, March 26, 2014. After Malaysian Airlines flight MH370 disappeared without a trace more than 2 weeks ago, ham radio operators are now being asked to assist in the search. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
The Malaysian Amateur Radio Emergency Service Society is calling ham radio operators in a number of nations to participate in the search for the missing Malaysia Airlines flight MH370. The twin-engine Boeing 777 disappeared without a trace on March 8th. Now the Malaysian Amateur Radio Emergency Service Society says that ham radio operators in several geographic areas can play an important part in the search. It particularly singles out radio amateurs in India, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, Thailand, Mauritius, and the Seychelles as being in a crucial position to assist. Daily reporting nets have been established on 14.250 and 21.250 megahertz from 1300 to 1500 UTC. Any urgent message beyond the specific session times can be sent via email to emergency@mares.org.my. All information obtained from the ham radio community will be forwarded to the Malaysian Department of Civil Aviation and Malaysian National Security Council.
More than 25 nations are involved in the search for the missing plane. UOSAT Oscar 11 has now been in orbit for 30 years, and remarkably, its signal on 145.826 megahertz FM is still being received. UOSAT 2 was designed and built by a team of engineers at the University of Surrey in the UK as a successor to UOSAT 1. It was placed into orbit March 1, 1984. Oscar 11 was the most rapidly designed ham radio satellite, going from inception to launch in only 5 months. It was also the first amateur satellite to carry a digital communications package into Earth orbit and the first to be controlled by a central processing unit running software written in the high-level programming language Forth. The bird originally carried 3 beacons, but only the 2-meter unit is currently operational. As we briefly mentioned last week on Ham Nation, Clint Bradford, K6LCS, is among those chosen to spend an afternoon with Italian astronaut Luca Parmentano on April 11th. The event will take place at the European Space Agency's facility in Frascati, Italy, which is about 12 miles southeast of Rome. Bradford is very well known for his ham in space-related activities, including coordinating contacts between schools in California and the ham radio operators on board the ISS. He also owns several websites, including one of which contains information on how to start working FM satellites with equipment you probably already own. More information and links are under K6LCS on QRZ.com. NASA has installed an upgrade operating system on its Curiosity Martian rover and in the process has given the far-off explorer the ability to take selfies. Yes, selfies, but not the type you see on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. NASA explained the rationale behind this move is permitted to examine the effects of wear and tear on the rover through photos radioed back to Earth. According to NASA's Jet Propulsion Center in Pasadena, California, the reason for making the self-photographic system available is to help better understand the impact that the Martian terrain type has on the rover's wheels to help with planning future drive systems. The upgrade is the third such for Curiosity, which NASA says remains in great working condition. Once the update is fully tested, NASA says it will order the rover to do a series of test drives in smooth dirt to determine exactly how much wear the wheels are experiencing. Just don't expect any duck face pictures from the Red Planet. And finally this week, researchers in England have launched a unique campaign that will give anyone a chance to make a virtual trip into space for only about $70. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
The Surrey Space Center's virtual ride to space will use cutting-edge virtual technology and a specially designed spacecraft to deliver a three-dimensional immersive experience that will allow everyone to see what astronauts experience on their way to space. The experience will be created by capturing high-definition video footage using a weather balloon, which will carry a cluster of 24 cameras to a height of about 65,000 feet. During the ascent, these cameras will capture panoramic footage of the balloon's journey to space. Following the flight and retrieval of the camera payload, a specialized software package will be used to stitch the footage together to recreate a panoramic view of the space trip. The subsequent space ride will then be viewed using a state-of-the-art virtual reality head-mounted display. The system is designed to deliver high-definition, three-dimensional virtual environments that can be explored by the wearer as if they're in space themselves. The Surrey Virtual Ride to Space will give all aspiring astronauts a chance to be a virtual passenger, riding the balloon into space at far less cost than actually making such a trip in any other way.
The project team also is developing a smartphone application that will allow users to experience the journey using the phone's built-in gyroscope and accelerometer data, as well as a computer program that will allow people to experience space via their own PCs. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Oh, sorry. There's your news for the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. It was a little embarrassing. Cheryl, please bail me out.
Hey, no problem, Don. And welcome, everyone. Hi. Here we have the email bag Q&A section of Ham Nation. So let's see what good chat room questions I have for the gang here. Let's jump right in. From N1FOI, we have a question. He wanted me to ask the usual suspects. So that's going to be you, Bob, and George, and Don. So starting with Bob, what's your very first HF antenna? That's it. Bob, over to you.
I'm just looking. It's up there on my Gonset communicator. There it is up there, right there. It was the whip that came on the Gonset communicator.
Wow.
My first antenna was a 6-meter, 3-element Yagi that I built. And I did use a lot of those, though, because 6 meters was really happening in those days. So, yep, it was all VHF stuff, that little guy for 2 meters and then the 6-meter beam. But it, as you probably well know, it got a little carried away in the rest of my life. But those were the beginning ones because I was a VHF nut in those days.
Wow. Excellent. Thanks, Bob. And how about you, George? What was your first HF antenna, whenever it may have been? Go ahead, George.
Well, my first HF antenna was a G5RV, and that lasted for about 3 days. And my real first HF antenna that I will claim after that was an 80-meter loop, and I'm still using it now and like it pretty well.
Sounds good. I hear you on it all the time. Sounds real nice. And how about you, Don? What's your HF antenna, your first one? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think like most people, I had a G5RV. And then the second one that I had was actually a 160-meter offset or off-center fed dipole, a Wyndham, 160-meter Carolina Wyndham, 300-and-something feet long. And I had it up in our place here in Picayune where we now live. And one of the support ropes broke. And my father-in-law, who also lives on the property, we've got four families living on our 10 acres here, all in-laws, was out with the riding lawnmower and ran over it. And so he said, I had a little problem with your antenna. And he handed me a basketball-sized wad of copper weld and said, I ran over this with the lawnmower. It took me 30 minutes to get it out from underneath. Can you fix your antenna? No. So I bought another one the next year at Dayton. But yeah, I started with a G5RV like a lot of people and had a lot of good luck with it. But can't beat that offset, that off-center fed Wyndham, though, I don't think. It's good stuff. Got to use a tuner, though, of course.
Oh, yes. Real good. Real good. Nice antennas, guys. In mine, my first HF antenna was the Titan vertical antenna, and it was a multibander, too. Just an unusual thing with a counterpoise in it on top of the garage. So that was the very first one, but don't have that any longer. All right. The other thing is the next question from N2FYE Andy. Thanks for the question. Bob, he wanted to know, is there a webpage or doc to explain what's needed to get yourself or Gordo to attend a club meeting via Skype? Bob?
Oh, all you have to do is send us an email. There's no website. Just send us an email and give us some dates, because each of us do a couple of these a week, and the schedule gets pretty tight. But just send an email to us, and we'll be glad to visit your club. And it's so much fun. Anybody that has a club, we're even doing Hamfest on the weekend. It's fabulous, and it gives you some program that it wouldn't be possible unless you want to spend a lot of money to fly people around. We can do it very well on Skype today. So, yep. Send us an email.
Or a transporter, whichever one, right? So I've got a lot of questions here, Bob. They kind of stacked up here, so I got to roll with these. KM6WT, Mont, he says, what coax type do you use for your coaxial dipoles, RG8 or RG58?
For the actual antenna, we're using, I think it's RGX, the small stuff. The feed lines are all 213, and you have to be careful that the wire, the actual coax, has a velocity factor of 0.66. That's where a lot of people go wrong, and you can't use just any coax for the actual antenna. It has to be 0.66 velocity factor. And that's why we use the RG58X stuff. It's older stuff, but it's all that'll work. Anything else, it won't work. And that's why a lot of people build these things and it don't work well. But we use the IAC antennas. They are fantastic. It's the best built coaxial dipole. And you don't need any tuner because it's resonant over the whole band.
Oh, great. And here's one more. There's a comment that KB3BYJ Mike has said, and I thought it would be a good idea to bring it up here. He says, has anyone else had the problem of a fuse blowing due to something chewing through the wire? It took him almost a week to figure out why the fuse and his mobile rig kept blowing. So I'm sure there's other people that have had that happen. And I was going to ask Joy. I was just going to say, did that ever happen to you? Okay, I hear you, Don. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a motorhome and live out here in Picayune, and stuff used to get underneath it all the time. It never was radio wires. It was always like taillight wires and stuff. And here's how I fixed it. I got underneath there, the motorhome, so it's up high, and I rubbed all the wires with Vaseline. And I took cayenne pepper and I sprinkled that cayenne pepper into the vat. Of course, you could mix it up first and make a paste out of Vaseline and cayenne pepper. And I just slathered it all over the wires. Never had another issue, period.
Wow. What a great idea for a natural tip to keep the critters off your wires. And there's a question from Fran, KM1Z. I think I'm going to field this one for him and get some other ideas. But he says, where do you get good 572 tubes these days? And I believe he meant 572 Bs. And I would really recommend a place called RF Parts, hands down. They have the best stock and quality tested match tubes as well as singles in the business. So RF Parts there, Fran, for you. And Bob, would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. DX Engineering has some good tube selection, but any of those, just ask around and see what fits your pocketbook and what fits your needs. There's a lot of them out there. A lot of people say tubes are gone. No. Oh, there's a lot of tube manufacturers out there.
Which is great. Excellent. Excellent. And last but not least, NK8J Brad. He just wanted to know when we're gonna help pull in Brian and Alex and get them their ham radio license with the help from us. So what do you think about that, Bob? You think we can kind of root them on there?
Well, they always want to do it, but most of the time now they're busy trying to fix a TriCaster.
Yes, reboot, or get we'll a get new them. Used one or something like that.
No. Yay. You have to You seriously, you have to visit the Petaluma studio sometime. These guys are amazingly busy. I don't know how they do all they do. So it's tough for them, but we'd love to have them all join us with their license. And someday that might happen.
Maybe if Brian and I both do it, we'd have motivation.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to do it together. Yeah. So.
Hey, Hamster.
We're going to send Gordo up there.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Yeah. We know a guy named Gordo could probably help you out with that.
You'll sick Gordon on us.
Yes, we will.
Okay. There you go. Well, that's is great. Thanks, Cheryl. Thanks, everybody. It's been a great show and a little difficulties here or there, but no big deal. And it'll be fixed in the edit box, Don. Did you know about that edit box? You know how that goes,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And one more thing real quickly. Just please, everyone, come in and join me with the After Show QSO on 3.847 megahertz as usual. That would be great. And thanks for all your questions and participation. You mean so very much to us here in the chat room. And until next time, we'll see you right here on Ham Nation. Take care, everyone. 7-3.
Okay, I just worked Steve and the guys on 14268, so they're alive and well. And I did that barefoot here, so things are happening. And I guess 7268 would probably be where they're going to be on 40. Tune around a little bit. You'll find them. You'll find them. And one thing that's really cool, everybody needs to know this. It just came up a few days ago. There's a 10-meter beacon here in the Ozarks. It's a great way to test your receivers, your antennas, and the propagation. 28.2828. 28.2828. And do that. You'll be able to hear the beacon 24/7 from W0ERE. And send him, he likes to get reports about who's hearing what, when. That's very important for beacons. It's a lot of beacons on the low end of 6 meters. And 2 meters, and it tells you how the propagation is running. So be aware of all that. Next week, you do not want to miss next week. We're doing some realigning of the show. No, it's not changing time and all this. We're just working some of the segments around. We have another new host coming, another new segment coming, and Tim Duffy and Ray Novak will be live in Petaluma, and we think Leo will be with them to make the announcement of some of these new lineups and people. So you don't want to miss next week, and no, the time's not changing. We try to get here at 8 o'clock, but sometimes it doesn't happen because of what happens before us. So 7-3, everybody. It's always great fun. We'll see you on the air somewhere. And be sure and check us out next week. And the replays are always there for you. Ham Nation into Google. That's all you have to do. You don't need the slash bar dot this question mark. Ham Nation into Google. Boom, they all come up. And then you can select all of them. So it's been great tonight. Thanks very much. 7-3 to everybody. Alex, thank you so much. And we'll see you next week. 8 o'clock or thereabout, right here on the Twit Network. And thank you, Leo Laporte. This is K9 EID in the Ozarks. Bye-bye for now.